hope you're excited about the possibilities this day has before us. As we had a wonderful time in Bible study this morning, and we've been praying for this for some time with our team to come up and help us in this area. Had a wonderful day. One of the things that I was most encouraged about, and don't take this the wrong way, we had an average day in Sunday school. We had our average of 63 here in Bible study this morning, and it's a different 63 than we had last week, but our group has now seen an average day, so they're going to know how to make these above average from now on. And I'm glad that that happened that way. Sometimes when you plan special events, you wind up with nobody showing up or everybody showing up, and it kind of gives a warped picture. I remember one time I went to a church doing a clinic just like this, and on the day that we showed up on Sunday morning, it was the highest attendance they'd had in 10 years. And I was meeting with a group of the teachers, and I said, well, what can we do now? And they go, well, we don't know what we did to get here. So that's not our case. So we have a lot of good times before us this week. And in the people search this afternoon, I am praying right now that this sunshine will continue until at least 3 o'clock. And then it's supposed to snow some more, but it's not going to until 3 o'clock. So if you have any reservations about the people search, don't worry. It will not snow until we're finished. It's kind of like it never really rains or snows on a golf course. I didn't know if you knew that or not, but it never does. It never rains or snows on people search Sundays either. We will have the people search. It will wait until after 3, and we'll all have a great time in that. This morning, if you turn with me in your Bibles, we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1, the first 7 verses. When you turn to this passage, if you start to look through it, you might say to yourself, well, this doesn't sound like much of a Sunday school enrollment training message. The truth is, it's not intended to be that way. It is to be an encouragement in a roundabout way. As we look into this passage, Paul was writing to a young pastor named Timothy. He was giving him some instructions on what it was like to pastor the church. Timothy had just been placed there, and Paul was wanting to encourage him. And not only are these words of encouragement for a young pastor, they are words of encouragement for believers in our personal walk with Christ. We're going to see some great things in these first 7 verses of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Would you stand with me out of respect to God's Word as I read this? 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is Jesus Christ. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembered of you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance that unfeigned faith that was in thee, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am now persuaded that it is in you also. Wherefore I put you in remembrance, that you would stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. And I want you to pay close attention to verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Father, this morning I pray that you would fill us with your Spirit that gives us power and love and a sound mind, that we would not listen to the temptations of Satan, that we would not live a life filled with fear, that we would not live in trembling of any way other than to tremble as we stand in your awesome presence, Lord. I would pray that you would come and you would speak to us this morning, that you would touch our hearts right where we are, that you would encourage us in our walk with you, that you would strengthen us for the task that lies ahead, that we would see your beauty and your grace, that we would see our Lord and Savior lifted up and magnified here in this place today. And may it begin in the hearts of each and every one of us. Lord Jesus, I would pray that you would be pleased with the worship at this time. I pray, Father, that the songs this morning have been a sweet joy in your ears. I pray that the offering has been an acceptable sacrifice in your sight. Lord, I would pray that the preaching of your word would glorify your name and your cause throughout our lives and throughout our town. Father, speak and move among us now. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In these seven verses, we see a number of things as Paul is seeking to encourage a young pastor. And I'm going to substitute a word here. Rather than keep calling Timothy a young pastor, I'm going to refer to him as a fellow believer. Because this encouragement not only goes out to pastors, it goes out to each and every one of us who knows Jesus Christ. First of all, in these first four verses, Paul is encouraging Timothy in his walk with the Lord because he knows the trials that can come in our life. There's an ancient saying that says something like this: never judge a man until you walk a mile in his moccasins. I believe that talks very clearly of our lives today, because we need to have an understanding that as believers, as people living in this world, we go through some very trying times. We also go through some very joyous times. And until we understand what someone is going through, it's very difficult to have empathy on them. It's very difficult to share that word of encouragement when we don't know what the agony of defeat is. I don't know if you remember that old commercial from many years ago, the ABC Wide World of Sports. I've forgotten the man's name, but I'll never forget his face. Everybody knows what the agony of defeat truly looks like. It looks like somebody coming off a 90-meter ski jump, slipping and falling off the edge, bouncing up and down on the snow. We have a vivid picture in our minds of what the agony of defeat looks like. You ever suffered a defeat like that? I've never fallen off a 90-meter ski jump. There's a good reason for that. I've never been on one. I don't ever plan on being on one. I don't even want to see anybody standing on one. But yet we've all known what it is to be defeated from time to time. Paul knew the trials of battle. He knew the costs of war in the Christian life, and he writes to encourage Timothy and to encourage us today. He says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, we have been called with a common calling, the promise of God, eternal life in Jesus Christ." And he writes this to Timothy, "My dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." We need to be encouraging one another with grace, mercy, and peace continually, because without God's grace, mercy, and peace working in our lives, we become wretched individuals. First of all, we don't know Him as our Lord and Savior until we understand grace, mercy, and peace. And secondly, we don't have much for living for if we don't understand God's grace, mercy, and peace, because there's so much stuff going on in the world. Without God's intervention, we'd find ourselves hopelessly in despair. "I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of you in my prayers, both night and day." We need to remember to pray for one another. We need to remember to thank God for one another, for the ministries that He's given to us, for the giftedness that He's given to us. Wherever we might be, whether it's in that barren wasteland called Houston, Texas, we need to remember our brothers and sisters that are down there. Whether it's in the valleys of Estes Park, whether it's in the plains of Colorado, whether it's across the farthest parts of the world, we need to remember our brothers and sisters in Christ and lift them up and pray for them. As we sang our call to worship this morning, "Shine, Jesus, shine," my mind goes back to 93 faces sitting in a room that's only designed for about 50 and singing, "Shine, Jesus, shine," in an accent that nobody could understand. Seeing those boys and girls from Bailey's last year as they sang this with everything they had, from the bottom of their feet to the depths of their soul, they sang it out because they were excited. And you know what? On a day like today, we have brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are celebrating times of worship even right now. We need to remember our brothers and sisters in Christ, because God's work is not isolated to where we are. It goes to the far reaches of the world. We need to remember people. We need to pray for people. We need to thank God that His work is not limited to only what we can do. "Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy." Paul wanted to see his young co-worker in the faith. He wanted to fellowship with him. He wanted to have some time together. It's good to have Ernest with us this morning. I'll tell you, I wish Dora was here with him. It'd be a little prettier picture back there, but still good to have Ernest with us today. It's only been 2 weeks since Ernest and Dora were here, and it's going to be two more weeks before they get here, but it's been a while, and I've been excited about this time where we can have time to continue in our growth together. We need to have that desire in our hearts where we work together one with another. Where's a great place for that to happen? Sunday school. You knew it had to come in here eventually. When we get together in small groups for time of Bible study and prayer and fellowship and encouraging, we have countless opportunities to encourage one another in our walks with the Lord. We can share the victories with one another, and we can share the sorrows of defeat. I confess before you, I did not live a perfect life this past week. There were areas that fell far short of the glory of God. There were some areas that were wonderful. And the tendency is to only share those wonderful areas because they're great. But you know, sometimes we have to put those arms of love and compassion around people and hug them and pray for them and encourage one another. Because brothers and sisters, there's not a one of us in this room that made it through this past week unscathed. Somewhere we struggled, somewhere we hurt, somewhere we came in contact with someone who was hurting. Paul said, I want to be with you. With tears, being mindful of your tears. He goes, you're in misery and I want to be there. You're doing well and I want to be there, that my joy may be full. Because one of the joys that we can know in the Christian walk is encouraging one another in our other Christian walks. That's one of the greatest joys we can know, to know that we have helped somebody in that path of life as God is directing them. And it's not always filled with the high times. Sometimes those little valleys sneak in there as well. Now we're really going to get into the Sunday school part of it. You didn't know it's in here, but it is. Notice verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, then in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it's in you also. We see one of the first Sunday school classes in the history of the New Testament recorded right here, and it started with a grandmother. Where do you think Eunice heard the gospel? Well, she heard it from her mom. Where did Timothy hear the gospel? He heard it from his mom and his grandma. Now, I doubt if they came to a church building like this. I doubt if they had a class where it was made for grandmothers to teach mothers to teach children. But the truth is, the truth of Christ was passed on from one person to another. And now, Timothy's a pastor. Timothy's out there on the battlefront. Timothy's out there doing what God has called him to. And it all started from a mother and a grandmother who took time to share the truth of God's Word. And they didn't have the Bible as we know it. I don't think they had a leather-covered version. I don't think they even had it in hardback at that time. And they certainly didn't have the New Testament as we have it today. Maybe they had bits and pieces of scrolls. Maybe they had oral tradition that somebody else had passed on to them. But they were careful to communicate that so that God could have His work done in a person's life. Because when we come into interaction with the truth of God's Word, He challenges us and He changes us. And that is why we seek to have times of Bible study, so that we can have dynamic interaction with the truth of God's Word. Because if we don't come in contact with God's Word on a regular basis, we will find ourselves growing dull to the truths of God. Seems almost impossible that we could grow dull to the truths of God, doesn't it? There are many people in this world who've come to understand that truth. When Walmart runs a sale, how many times do they advertise it? Once? Twice? Or enough times to make you sick? Usually the latter. Do we remember it? Yes, because it's constantly before us. We need constant interaction with the truth of God's Word. We need it in our personal, private, daily lives, and we also need it corporately. We need to be challenged as God's Spirit works in our own lives and in the lives of others. We need to have men and women who are called to teach God's Word, who give time and preparation and prayer and study to a lesson, so that when it's presented, God challenges us. We need things like that. I've shared with Jerry this week. I said, Jerry, I don't want you to tell me all the right answers or what you think we're doing right. I want to be challenged. And Bud, they did notice we don't have the signs already. I just want you... One of the things I've been telling you is going to be mentioned real quick. They noticed fast, and we'll be talking about that. We need to be challenged because we too easily get into a mold of status quo. We too easily get into the rut of the way we've always done things. We too easily get into the rut of, well, it's Sunday morning, it must be time for Bible study, the teachers will teach their lesson, I will be in my spot. And I think too many times we get into this understanding that I heard mentioned of the church one time, that we start at 11 o'clock sharp and we end at 12 o'clock dull. Brothers and sisters, we're not here to be dull. We're here to be sharpened and challenged by the truth of God's Word. Timothy was. His grandmother challenged him. His mother challenged him. Paul was challenging him. And he says, "Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you would stir up the gift of God that is in you by the putting on of my hands." That Timothy would be the servant that God has called him to be. That he would stir that up. That he would remember what God's called him to do. That he would remember the truth of God's Word. That he would remember his talents and abilities. That he would remember to offer himself a living sacrifice before God. Here's a young man who knew that, but yet he was still encouraged to continue remembering it. And now I want to get down to verse 7 because there's so much goodie in there. We're going to spend a lot of time. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God has not given us a spirit of fear. In our world today, fear is rampant. There are people who fear for their lives. There are people who are fearful to go out of their homes because of violence. There are people who are fearful to go to one place or another because of what may happen to them. There are parents who are fearful of what might happen to their children. There are children who are fearful that they don't know their parents. There are people living in fear today because they do not always know the truth that there is a God that loves them. Now that doesn't take away all the situations that we'll come into. I would imagine quite quickly, if I was somewhere and someone put a gun in my face, I would have fear in my life. I would not forget that God loves me, but I would still have a certain measure of fear about that situation, afraid that they might pull the trigger. I'm not talking about those specific instances of fear. I'm talking of an overarching fear that dominates the lives of people. We have people in Estes Park afraid too many people are going to move here. We have other people in Estes Park who are afraid not enough people are going to move here. We have people who are fearful that it's going to snow too much and there's not going to be enough vacationers here this summer. There are people living in fear that they're going to have to be downtown when all those vacationers are here this summer. There are people living in fear. What are their children learning at school? There are people living in fear that their children are learning at school and they don't know what the truths themselves. There are people living in fear because they don't know what goes on inside this building. There are people living in fear because they don't know the truth of a living, loving God. God does not give us that spirit of fear. God does not fill our lives and our hearts with fear. As the Bible teaches us, God gives us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has come into this world to take the fear out of this world, to take the bondage of sin out of this world. That's why God came here, to release the power of that fear and that bondage and to fill us with love and power and a sound mind. And we need those principles of God working in us. And where are we going to learn things like that if we do not gather for times of worship and Bible study? A spirit of power. I'm not just talking of a power of proclamation. I'm not just talking of a power that says, "I'll get through some way." I'm talking of an inner power, knowing that whatever besets us in our life, that God is still sovereignly in control. And we need to be reminded of that from time to time. It doesn't take long before the circumstances of life look like a tidal wave as it's coming at us, and we almost cry out, "God, you don't know what this wave is going to do to me." But He does. So compassionately, we encourage one another in that spirit of power. Maybe there are those who are a little apprehensive about this afternoon going door to door in a people search. That spirit of fear is kind of welling up because we don't know who's on the other side of that door, and we don't know what they're going to say. We need to understand that God is greater than that. And He will indeed give us a power to overcome that and share the truth of His Word. And if rejection takes place, it is not a rejection of us, it's a rejection of God. God does not fill us with that spirit of fear. That comes from another source. God gives us a spirit of power. But not only of power, He gives us a spirit of love. And this is just not that emotionally feel good, I think you're the greatest thing in the world kind of love that sometimes we talk about. This is a love as God loves. God fills us with it. And I'll tell you, each and every one of us need to learn more about that kind of love. It's one thing to love people when they agree with us, act the same way we do the same things we do, have the same interests and hobbies we do. It's quite another thing to love somebody who's different than us. It's tough. God is growing us and building us that way. And the same God that loves us is the same God that loves the people in this town that we're going to. We need to grow in that love. We need to be challenged in that avenue of love. We need to realize that that is what God desires for us. And the Bible tells us the only way the world will know that we are believers is by the love that we have one for another. He did not say they would know we're Christians by the number of times we attend church services in a week. Now, I still want you all to be here tonight and tomorrow night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night. But that's not how the world's going to know we're Christian. They're going to know we're Christian by the love that we have one for another. And that love overcomes fear. That love overcomes what Satan will throw in our way. That love makes it possible to express God's love to a lost world. In sharing, in proclamation, and yes, in Bible study. We need to learn more of God's love and not just let it stop here. It needs to sink down deep into us. I've not given him a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And that last phrase, a sound mind. One that knows the truth and lives by the truth. One that is firmly grounded. When I was in the first grade, we learned to print. Some of us did. And I remember the first sentence we ever had to print. My first grade teacher, Mrs. Cagle, took a wooden thing with five wires coming out of it and a piece of chalk in each wire. And she went across the blackboard just like this, and there were five straight lines across the blackboard, and it matched the tablet paper I had in front of my face. And she started over here on this side, and she goes, "Hello, comma, my name is blank." That was the first sentence I ever had to print. And as a first grader, "Hello, my name is," I wrote that five times. I never filled in that blank because it wasn't on the board. All the first graders filled in, did everything like that, and we left the blank up there. And she goes, "Okay, wait a minute. I want you to put your name in there." So she wrote your name. You know what happened. "Hello, my name is your name." No, and then she tried it again. She goes, "No, I want you to put what your name is." And she goes, "Tim, I want you to put Tim Wilbanks." Every first grader's name was Tim Wilbanks then. "Hello." And we wrote exactly what was up there. It took us days for that to sink in. Finally, we got it. Now, when somebody asks me that question, I can fill in that blank. I don't have to have Miss Cagle to write it up on the board for me to know, "Hello, my name is Tim Wilbanks." I don't have to do that anymore. It's part of the maturing process. But as a first grader, I wasn't developed for that. I mean, I was wanting it concrete. If it said my name, I was going to put my name. If it said your name, I'd have put your name. As believers, God gives us a spirit of a sound mind, one that grows in maturity. One that continues to receive the truth of God's Word and grows as a result thereof. That's what God has planted in our hearts. We are not stagnant individuals that stay at the same place we were for the past 5, 10, 15 years. We are not people who are called to say, the day I was saved, I was at full-blown maturity of where I am now. Sound mind means that we continue to grow and mature throughout our lives. And if we're not growing, maybe we need to check out what God is doing in our lives. Or maybe what we're not allowing God to do in our lives. And one of the places we grow is in our time of Bible study. The lost world that we're trying to reach in Estes Park and around this state, around this country, around this world, you know where one of the places they can grow is? In Bible study. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And brothers and sisters, that's not a gift that He's just said it's going to be for this select few. He's wanting to give it to all who will trust in Jesus Christ. I was sharing with the team yesterday that many of you remember when I went back to Atlanta for a clinic just like this, and I was assigned to four different churches before I ever got to one. The second church I was assigned to, I found out later, was my home church. And they dropped out before I got there. And they all four looked at me and said the same thing. That's probably a good thing. Because had I gone back to my home church, they would have remembered those times when I was an intermediate. When I was a junior boy, especially, they would remember those times. They would have remembered all those little things. You know, sometimes we dwell too much on those old little things. We've all got them. Sometimes we pretend they're not there. Sometimes we think if we can point out other people's problems, then ours will disappear. That comes out of a spirit of fear, not out of a spirit of a sound mind. A sound mind realizes that we're all in that growing, maturing process. And that we need one another. We need the truth of God's Word interacting in our lives, challenging us to be more like Christ. That's what this week's about. That's what this time of worship is about, that we would see Jesus Christ face to face and we would be challenged as where we are and with who He is. Let me challenge you further this morning. Do you have a personal, living relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know Him as your very own? Does His Spirit dwell within you? If not, God's Word tells us that we're lost. We're separated from God. We're in need of Christ to be our Savior. And if you're here this morning without Christ, in just a moment we're going to have an invitation time where we're going to stand and sing. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ, I'm going to ask you to come up here to the front and I'll take the Bible and show you how you can be saved this morning. Maybe you're here and you know Christ as your Savior, but it's been a long time since He's really done anything. Maybe there's sin that needs to be confessed. Maybe there's a relationship with God that needs to be made right. Maybe you need to come and fall on your knees and pray and ask God to forgive you. Maybe He's leading you to make a decision or a commitment for Him. Maybe He's leading you to pray for boldness concerning the people search this afternoon or your possible activity as a Sunday school teacher or worker. I still remember the first time I was asked to be a Sunday school teacher. One of the older men in our church gave me a book and said, "Tim, junior boys are yours. Have at it." We don't want to do that to anybody, but guess what? It's happened before and it'll probably happen again. And you might be frightened about that. There's help. Maybe God's leading you that way. You just want to come and pray about that. Whatever the decision, whatever the commitment, whatever the struggle, remember, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Who we turn to Him this morning? Would you bow your heads and hearts with me as we pray? Father, we come to You this morning thanking You that You have given us a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. And Lord, I would pray in this moment right now that You would touch our hearts and that You would challenge us. That we would not be dull. That we would not leave this room being the same people we were when we came in, but that we would interact with Your Word and Your Spirit and we would give You our lives however You've called us. I would pray for those who are here who don't know You as Lord and Savior. I would pray for those who need to make a commitment to You. I would pray for those who are seeking a deeper relationship with You. Father, I would pray right now that Jesus Christ would be Lord over all that we do, and that He would lead us and that we might follow after Him. Lord Jesus, be glorified in this time as we commit ourselves to You this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Our invitation hymn today is number 285, "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go." Will you follow His leadership this morning?